Please be seated.
Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. You heard Vic read one of those verses or refer to verse 11 shortly ago. I want us to look at this familiar passage and I trust be challenged and encouraged by it. Isaiah chapter 55, look with me at verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6 reads, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Will you pray with me? Father, would you remind us that before us are the eternal words of truth. Everything around us will one day be gone, except for the people of God and the Word of God. Lord Jesus, would you enable us to understand this is not simply some writing that somebody came up with once upon a time by the name of Isaiah. This is the Holy Spirit breathing through a man to put before us the eternal truth of God. Would you so impress us? Your body needs to hear from you. We desperately need the encouragement, the strength, the challenge that the Word of God alone can give us. So, Holy Spirit, work in our midst. Work in us both to will and to do your good pleasure, even as we listen to you speak through your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is said that when the famous missionary Dr. David Livingstone started his trek across Africa, that he had 73 books in three packs weighing 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, he was obliged to throw away some of the books because of the fatigue of those carrying his baggage, his traveling library. As he continued on his journey, his library grew less and less until he had but one book. What was it? What is it about the Bible? What about the Word of God? What does Isaiah have to say to us about the eternal truth of God in these short verses? I think, first of all, he tells us that the Word of God is holy. It's different. It's other than. It's set apart from. It's not less like any other book. It's not just like anybody else's word. Everybody that you've ever talked to at some point or another has said something that wasn't perfectly accurate, right? Including yourself? Not so of God's Word. It is different then, and you need to understand that, and I need to understand that what is written before us isn't simple literature. As someone else has said, and I appreciate his words, this is Pulitzer Prize winning material. This is God visiting us with his truth. This is truth that will never end. We talked about it in our ABF class. When we teach little children like Sierra the truth of the Word of God, you're teaching her something that won't merely last a lifetime. You're teaching to her something that will be true for all of eternity. And it is different in that way than our words. It is different than just man speaking. It is different than simply if Isaiah came up with a few random thoughts and wrote them down. This is intentional God purposefully writing the truth that is eternal, and he does it through one person here named Isaiah. His word is holy. It reveals the character of God. Go with me to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's true across the board, but here specifically, he seems to be speaking to the nature of salvation. How could it be that God would forgive men and women, our sin? How would that work? We come to God, we fail him, we disobey him, we don't do everything he's told us to do, we do things that he's told us not to do. And then we think somehow we've got to make up for what we've done wrong. Anybody played that game with God before? You try to make up, well, I'll be good today. How's that working for you? We want to make up. We want to balance the scales. And into that context, Isaiah says, God's ways, his thoughts, are not yours. God will be gracious to you and me in Christ Jesus. Oh, that'll never happen. God would never forgive. You don't know what I've done wrong. You need to understand that God's word is holy. It's different. His ways, his thoughts are different than ours. There's no way on God's green earth that you could ever understand the mind of God or come up with his thoughts unless he chooses to reveal himself to you and me. You and I will never figure out God by ourselves. That's what religion really boils down to, is man's attempt to get to God, and you can't. God's word is God's successful attempt to reach down to us. So you need to understand that his word is different than anything you or I could come up with on our own. Who could concoct such a plan of salvation? Who could invent this concept of grace? Who could pardon the sin of humanity? God's word reveals the character of God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. God's word is holy. Treat it as such. God is separate from us. We need to teach in the bride of Christ that God is both personal in nature and very much other than us in nature. He is very different. He is high and holy. He doesn't think the way that you and I think. He doesn't do like you and I would do under the same circumstances. He's very different than us. Yes, he's very personable. Yes, he reveals himself to us, but you need to understand the high character and quality of God. His word demonstrates as much. Tom Williamson was a man that I knew in Ridgeway, South Carolina. Kind of fascinated. Some of you have heard me tell about Tom. He flew a plane back in World War II or thereafter. And Tom told me an interesting story. He said when storms would blow up, he would get out there in his plane and take off into the storm. That makes a lot of sense, Tom. But you understand that Tom realized that the day would come in combat that he would have to know how to fly in the middle of the storm by the instrument panel. And I'm not a pilot, but I understand that there are times when what your mind tells you and what the instrument panel tell you are two radically different things. No, really, I'm upside down. I have to turn this plane over. And the instrument panel says, no, you're not. You're right side up. Oh, no, I know when I'm right side up and when I'm upside down. And you would think that would be a no-brainer. That would be easy, right? But I understand that that's not always easy. And so you have a choice to make. There are two options in front of you. You can go by what you think, or you can go by what the instrument panel tells you. And that's what Isaiah is pointing out. God's instrument panel is not the same as what you think. Have you ever said or heard somebody say, well, my God would never show me? Because we are guilty of trying to create a God in our own image. And God won't be created in our image. God has revealed His image to us through the living and written Word. And you need to understand the character of God as He reveals Himself in this high and holy Word of His. There ain't nothing like it. There's nobody like Him. And His Word is radically different. So don't concoct in your mind some idea about God. Listen to God who reveals Himself through His Word. He is different. Our problem, it seems, at times in our culture is to put ourselves as an authority over His Word. That's not what Isaiah paints for us in his picture in verses 9, 8, and 9. We want to put ourselves on the par with God. Not the case. He doesn't simply tell us that the Word of God is a little different than us. Your way, God's way, whatever way, it doesn't matter. That's not what he says. As the heavens are high above the earth, God's ways are high above ours. And it occurs to me that often in our lives, we face a challenge to either do what we think is right or do what God's instrument panel tells us is right. God's word is holy, and so he calls us to respond appropriately in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. Oh, get out. He'll never be merciful to me. Let me tell you about the time that and if God ever found out about this, he would never be merciful to me. Is that where you are? Okay, your mind is saying one thing, but can I remind you that the Word of God is holy? It's different. It's above your thoughts. Now you choose to accept your thoughts or to accept his. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. Children of God, hear the voice of God. He will have mercy on you. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. It brings joy to the heart of our God to pardon our sin. And so repentance ought to be a way of life for us. Because we do fail him. We fail him in word, we fail him in thought, we fail him in deed. And God's word says, come and repent, turn from your sin. God will be merciful. Repentance to me is like taking a shower multiple times a day and getting clean, experiencing the forgiveness that I have in Christ. Are we reluctant to practice repentance? Do you believe the holy character of the Word of God? Secondly, God's Word is here. Look at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven. I like that. I like that he doesn't, as has been pointed out, he doesn't say as the lightning appears or as the hailstorm appears. He says as the rain and the snow and how it waters the earth and how it causes the earth to bear fruit. God's word is not only holy, but it's here. It's great that the character of God is as it is. It's great that he's high above us. But what if he never chose to come down here to where we are? And what he did do, as Isaiah prophesied, was he gave to us his Son, the living Word, who revealed the glory of his Father. And he gave to us in such easily obtainable fashion in our culture. He has given to us the privilege of his word. You heard Vic talk about it earlier. All of us, I would dare say, have a Bible somewhere in our house. Probably multiple copies. God's word is here with us. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, he shows both the lofty character of the holiness of God and his word, as well as the fact that he has come to where we are. Near has with it the idea of family or kinship. He let himself be found. It's kind of like my wife. She let me catch her. Do you understand that if God doesn't want to be found, you can't find him? You won't find him unless he chooses to be found by you and me. And so Isaiah tells us not only of the nature of the word of God is holy and that it's here, but he also calls us to respond in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's not the picture of going and looking for something that's lost. That's going to find someone that you expect to be there. It's like going to a meeting or an appointment, because you know that person will meet you there. And what Isaiah is trying to tell you is that God has made himself available to us. The day may rapidly come when he chooses not to be found by us. You say, well, he wouldn't do that. Oh, really? Ask Noah and the culture into which Noah lived. If God always made himself available. God, it says in Genesis, closed the door of the ark. He was readily available up to a point, and the door was closed. Seek the Lord now while he is near, while he is here. Do you do that? Some of you wear your Bibles out, and I am so thankful that you do. Others of you wear the dust out with your Bibles. It's a great collection place. May it not be so. May there never be any dust on the Word of God that we own. May we seek him. You know where you'll find him? I think Isaiah knew. You'll find him in his Word as he has chosen to reveal himself to you and me. It's kind of pointless for us to sit around and concoct some idea of God, what he looks like, what he must act like, what he must think about. Go here. He's already told you what's on his heart. Seek him out. Look for him while he is near. The day is coming when Christ will return and it will be over and there won't be time to seek the Lord. God's word is here. Finally, God's word is effective. Sorry, I tried really hard to come up with another H. The best I could do was God's word is helpful, and that was wimpy. That's not what it is. So I'll have to use the word effective. It's plain and simple. God's word works. What do you mean? Well, look at verse 10. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, what happens? Well, plants grow. Seeds are born on the plants. Fruit is born on the plants. So it is with my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Dowsett has said, we come to the Lord as we are, but not to stay as we are. We ought to be changed by the word of God. God's purpose is to bring sinners to himself and make them fully devoted followers of Christ, disciples of his son. God's word is effective. It works. Eleanor Schmidt wrote that her doctor had recommended surgery and referred her to a specialist. Arriving early for my appointment, she writes, I found the door unlocked and the young surgeon deeply engrossed in reading behind the receptionist's desk. When he didn't hear me come in, I cleared my throat. Startled, he closed the book, which I recognized as the Bible. Does reading the Bible help you before or after an operation? I asked. My fears were dispelled by his soft one-word answer. During. God's word is effective. If you really believed it was as effective as it is, would you appropriate it? Would you share it? Would you spread it to prisons in Canada? Would you spread it with the conduct of your life? Would you spread it with your lips? Would you look for the fruit of his word? Because God said, boy, I sure hope that my word comes back and accomplishes what I want. That's not what he said, is it? He said, it will not return to me empty, but it will do what I sent it to do. It will lead errant sinners to Christ. It will expose my thoughts to my people. It will produce fruit in the lives of my children. I was preparing this week and actually looking for something else and ran across this little letter that was placed in one of Boyce's commentaries on Romans. Some years ago, Marcus McDonald came to me and he said, do you have anything on Romans? And I said, I have the greatest thing on Romans. And I said, you need to read Boyce's commentary. And he said, okay. And I gave him volume one. There are four volumes. And when he returned the commentary, this is what he had written in that commentary on the piece of paper. Carl, this is July 24 of 05. Thank you for your trust in loaning me this work of Boyce. I accepted it reluctantly. Funny that Marcus would be so blunt. I accepted it reluctantly out of respect for you. However, I quickly found myself enthralled in this, quote, meat, unquote, and now I have volumes 1 through 4 as my own. My prayer is to be, and this is what grabbed my heart as I was preparing for this sermon, and I read these words. I said, Marcus, you just made my point. Listen to what he wrote. My prayer is to be further grown and equipped through these wonderful observations, and that God's word will not return void in my walk. All right, can I ask you this question? Is God's word effective? First, in the walk of others with whom I pray to be used as God's agent in boldly with gentleness and patience proclaiming his message and intent for good found in this first profound book. I believe God may have me doing Romans 1 only for quite a long time. God's word is holy. And I trust that the impact of the holy God as he reveals himself through his word would drive you to your knees in repentance to him. How have you failed him? Your mind would tell you to run far and fast from him. But his word is way different than yours. And what he says is, confess your sin to me, and I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says, come boldly into my throne room. Come boldly. I've not yet gotten over that verse. I trust I never will. That the King of all creation tells you and me to boldly enter into his presence and to say, Daddy, I blew it again. I need your help. I need your mercy. And can't you just see the smile on his face as in Christ he administers his healing, forgiveness, mercy, and grace? I trust that you know that the Word of God is here and that as he is with us, that you will seek him out, that you will invest in him your time, your energy, your life. And I trust that you know that the Word of God is effective. There's some fertilizer under my house. No, I'm not preparing to make a bomb. But as it sits under my house, it does my lawn absolutely no good. It is ineffective. God's word needs to be read and applied by his Spirit to your life and your neighbor's life and the people down the street and the people in the office next to you. They need the Word of God worldwide. It is our privilege to share the effective, holy Word of God in such a way that God gets the glory and change is made. We've seen it in the life of Marcus. Who's next? Let's pray. Father, we too, we confess, have effectively been changed by the holy word of God. Thank you for giving us your word. Would you change us with it? Would you lay on us a desire? Would you give to us the vision of perspective, that the vision of privilege that we get to share this truth the world over? May it be so. Would you continue to give us insight into how your word is effective in our lives, through our lives, around our lives? For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.